Go ahead and have a seat. Well, today we finish up the 10th chapter of Luke. And I just want you to think about what's been going on. At the beginning of Luke chapter 10, Jesus has sent out ambassadors. But he's told them now, don't be so excited about the demons that you have power over them. Be excited that your names are written in heaven. And then he tells the story of the Good Samaritan. The story of loving service. And so you would think it would just be perfect that he would go into Martha and Mary's home and just extend that teaching about loving service. And yet there's this struggle then, how sometimes our service can actually get in the way of our devotion and our worship. So when we look at that whole chapter, we see kind of a sequence happening as Jesus is traveling along and teaching. So Luke 10, we've just finished the story of the Good Samaritan. And at verse 38, now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. May God bless this reading of his holy word. Before we look specifically at what's happening in this passage, I want to read something that would be familiar to many of us. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. The beginning of the chapter on love, 1 Corinthians 13. I think it can be really tough sometimes to be honest with ourselves about our real motives. You see, we all grow up with a true need to be loved, to be accepted. And the world often rewards the efforts and the success that is the result of trying to meet these needs for approval. Jesus knows that we need these things. That's why he says, come unto me, all that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But it's also why he says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered by so many things. I almost hear Jesus saying the same thing as during the temptation. Man does not live by bread alone, but by the very word of God. Did you catch that in this story? I mean, that comes up. Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered by so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. It says she was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. Man does not live by bread alone, but by the very word of God. It's like Jesus is going, Martha, you are burdened with a need for my approval. I want to give you more than approval. I want to give you me. I want to give you the bread of life that will never perish. But you are so busy trying to feed me to win my attention that you are forgetting what you really want, why you really want it. You want me. You want the life I offer. You want the love I offer, the joy, the peace, the rest, the purpose. But you're so busy trying to impress me, you're missing out on receiving what I truly desire to give you. See, you think if I give you the attention, you'll get what's going to satisfy your heart. And I want to give you something so much greater. I almost picture Jesus saying, you know, Martha, I'd really be much happier today with a PB&J and some extra time with you. You know, I was thinking about that as I was, I typed this up on Sunday morning to get it back fresh in my mind, and I was thinking about that. We went out to, you know, we're all together as a family this weekend, all four of us. And, you know, we were thinking about where we wanted to go out to eat last night. You know, when family's together, you want to go out someplace special, right? You know, want to make a big deal out of it. And we went out last night and had pancakes and eggs. And you know what? It was just as good. Because it wasn't about the food. It was about being together. It was about all of us being together and enjoying one another. Now, I want to be clear. Jesus is not upset that Martha is working. Just that she seems to have expectations about what her work is going to provide for her. He's also bothered that she seems to think that everybody else needs to do what she's doing in exactly the same way that she's doing that. We never see that in church, do we? I love evangelism. Everybody needs to be an evangelist. Or I love service. Everybody needs to serve. But see, what does it say? The Spirit gives the gifts as the Spirit chooses. And we're all gifted in different ways. You see, what Jesus is concerned about, her work is absent of joy. Her service is absent of love. Oh, we could say she's doing it because she loves Jesus, but her frustration betrays what's really going on in her heart. She's not giving service, she's doing it to receive something. It's all about Martha and what Martha thinks she needs. Now, just in case you think that I'm off base here, there is another time that Jesus comes to Martha and Mary's house, and it looks exactly the same. Martha's busy making dinner. Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, this time anointing him. This time the disciples are getting upset that Mary's showing too much devotion to Jesus. This time Martha's feeding about 15 people because of all the people that are there. And yet Martha doesn't say a word of complaint. She serves out of love. When Martha struggles, it is because she has placed a burden on herself that the Lord never intended. Often we can have those. We have those I need to things. I need to do this for Jesus. I need to do this because I'm a Christian. I need to do that. I need to read my Bible today. I need to pray for so many minutes. I need to be part of this program or that program. I need to do what someone else has been getting recognition for doing so that the Lord will reward me in the same way that the Lord rewarded them. Now, I'm going to tell you, stay away from that one, because we see that one happen in the early part of the church, okay? We've got a guy that sells some property and gives it to help the early church. And then we have a couple that says, ooh, he got a lot of attention. We're going to do that. Except they don't really do what he did. And it becomes evident that they're doing it not to bless the church, but so that they will be recognized. We don't want to go down that path because they didn't make it through the day. Ananias and Sapphira died that day in their sin. Yes, when Martha struggles, it is because she has placed a burden on herself that the Lord never intended. And we do the same thing when we get in that need to mentality. I need to do it so the Lord will reward me with peace and joy and comfort. And we find that we never end up receiving any of those things out of that work that we do trying to receive those things. Jesus doesn't say, read 3 chapters a day. Jesus doesn't say, you need to pray to me for 60 minutes and not 55 or 32 or 17. Jesus says, come to me. Jesus says, be one with me. How long that takes is more a matter of one thing than anything else. It's not a word we like. Surrender. That's the thing that determines it. It's more a matter of surrender than it is about checking items off the box so we can earn our Christian merit badge. Oswald Chambers says, if you want to work through this, you just need to ask one question. What do you want? What do you want? Do you want love? Or do you want Jesus? Do you want approval? Or do you want Jesus? Do you want peace? Or joy? Or hope? Or patience? Or do you want Jesus? Chambers writes, if you only come the length of asking God for things, and yes, hope, peace, joy, love, those are things, okay? You have never come to the first strand of abandonment. You have become a Christian from a standpoint of your own. In other words, if you say, I did ask God for the Holy Spirit, but He did not give me the rest and the peace I expected. There's another story in Acts about that one too. About a guy that wants the Holy Spirit so bad he's willing to pay money for it. Okay? But what does he want? He wants power. He doesn't want the anointing of the Holy Spirit so that God will change his heart. He wants the anointing of the Holy Spirit so he can use it for his own gain. Now, we may not be there, but how often are we want, I want to be loved, Lord, and this is how you need to do it. And we find that if we want Jesus, the other comes. But if all we want Jesus for is to be loved, we never truly find Him. And we wonder why we don't then get the very thing we were after. I did ask God for the Holy Spirit, but He did not give me the rest and the peace I expected. Oswald Chambers goes on to say, instantly God puts His finger on the reason. You are not seeking the Lord at all. You are seeking something for yourself. Are these good things to seek? Absolutely. And that's what makes it so hard for us to understand, because we're not talking about, gee, I want Jesus or I want to go name your poison, okay? We're talking about good things to desire, peace, joy, hope, love. But they are not to be sought over and above seeking after the Lord. So why ask when Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you? Chambers says, so you may get to know Jesus and His love. So you may get to know Jesus and His peace. So you may get to know Jesus and His joy. So you may get to know Jesus and His hope. Think about this promise from the Sermon on the Mount and the language just a few verses prior. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Okay? Great promise, right? Did you ever think that Jesus might not always be talking about blessing right there? From just one chapter earlier. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. They received a reward. They got exactly what they wanted. And what they wanted kept them from receiving what the Lord desired to give. We put our righteousness before men to be noticed by men. We will receive that reward. We will be noticed. But there is no reward in heaven, because our heart has betrayed our true desire. That we want notice, we want recognition, we want glory more than we want Jesus and His glory. You see, the hypocrite in this, which is what Jesus often calls the folks that are doing this, found his reward, and it is the one he sought, but not the one that gives life, not the one that gives peace and joy and hope. One of the ways we can see what it is that we want is to ask the question, does what I desire say, look at me? Or does what I desire say, look at Jesus? Chambers asked this question, and I'll leave you with this one today. Are you prepared to ask yourself what it is you want from God and why you want it? That becomes the important. Why do you want it? God always, Chambers writes, God always ignores the present perfection for the ultimate perfection. He is not concerned about making you blessed and happy just now. He is working out his ultimate perfection all the time, that we may be one. Or as Jesus would say it, that you may be one, even as we, the Father and I, are one. That's what Jesus wants to do with Martha. Let's be one. I love you, Martha. Accept it. You don't need to impress me. I already love you. And I'm going to the cross to prove that to you. Nothing you can do can earn it. I give it to you freely. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this story. We thank you that Martha learned to surrender to you, and teaches us that we can serve with love and devotion to you that needs no recognition. Teach us. Teach us the same. The one thing that is important. To be one with you. We thank you as we go from this place and ask that you would continue to empower us. Empower us to let our light shine. But empower us also to do it for your glory and not our own. And so we thank you. And we praise you in your most holy name. Amen.